had known of the Prophet and who had known of Prophet Muhammad before he was born. Before he was born, they knew of him and they had accepted him. And their acceptance was verified by the Prophet. And here we see that this is due to the fact that Allah has mentioned in the Quran that we have mentioned your name in the Tawrat, the Zabur, and Injil. In all the books that have come before, your mention has been stated there. Your name has been mentioned there. Your birth has been prophesied that the last of the messenger is going to come with the complete message. And hence, since it was in the books of the Jews and the Christians, that's why you see that many of them moved to the region of Hijaz, knowing that the last messenger is going to be born here. And they all lived in that place, in that area, expecting his return. They came there to aid him and assist him against the enemies or whoever is going to oppose the last messenger. Now it so happened in history that they came with that intention to that place, but they ended up opposing him. See, this is another issue altogether. People, when you make a movement to do the right thing, then there has to be that awareness and that education and that ideology that has to be built up so that it could relate, it could translate to your children and to their children, so that at the end, whenever the truth is going to rise up, then you have left behind a progeny that is going to help the Prophet, right? And hence, we see our times also in the occultation of the Imam, that he is not with us and that we are expecting him. Just like the world was waiting for the Messenger of Allah and for his birth, just like that, now the world is waiting for the awaited Savior. And as has been mentioned, he has been mentioned in all the books. And more so in Islam, because Islam is the last message and the final message, and hence he has been mentioned there, his attributes have been mentioned, his qualities have been mentioned, the time that he is going to return has been mentioned, the signs of his reappearance have been mentioned. In fact, if you see that just like the prophecy of the last messenger was the most important subject in the times of the prophets before him and the messengers before him. It was the most important subject, and hence every prophet and every messenger that came before the prophet prophesied about the coming of the last one. And just like that, you see that because the next major event, the most important event that is going to happen in the course of human history, will be the appearance of the last messenger with the final message. This will be the last, this will be the most important thing that happened. So now, when he did come and the final message was revealed and everything now has been said and Islam has been given to the people, so now you see the next major event after this is the waiting or the appearance of the Savior, who is going to come and now establish that message. So it's two different things. One, the message has been given, but it hasn't been established. Now the one who's going to establish the message is going to come. And hence this is the reason we see that the single most important subject in hadith, in which we have the most hadith about. If you look at all the hadith and if you classify them, you will see the most amount of hadith, the most amount of traditions, the most amount of narrations are about the last imam and his reappearance.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
There are more than 3,000 hadith that are related to him. And hence it is the most talked about subject amongst all the subjects under the sun. And hence we see that the reason is because this is the next most important event that is coming, and all people must be waiting for the event to happen. So we are discussing the circumstances around the birth of the Prophet. We came to this point, and hence now from here we will see some of the things that are important that you see will happen in or at the time of the Prophet that were going on. One of the things that was prevalent in the time of the Prophet and before his time was magic and fortune telling. Now, you know what magic is, but the other knowledge that existed then was, in Arabic it's called kahana, right? And what it actually means is a person who has inside information and access to knowledge about the events that are going to happen in the future, or what we know in English as an oracle. There were many people who had the ability to know what was going on and what would happen in the future, and that's why you see that you hear about oracles in the past. And these people also lived in the time of the Prophet. Now, just to make you understand of this, you must understand that after Shaitan was kicked out of heaven, there are seven skies, or what we know in the book as Sab'as Samawat, the seven skies. When you look at these seven skies, after Shaitan was kicked out, he was still allowed to go into the seven skies. That's right. He was still allowed to go there. And after Jesus was born, he was prevented from going to three of those skies, the upper three. He was stopped from reaching the upper three, so he just had access to four of them. Right? And after the birth of the Prophet, he was banned altogether from going to any of the skies. You see? So now what happened is that because he was able to go to these skies, and that is where, for example, the news about the events is coming down. As Allah says in the Quran, for example, he opened the doors in Ramadan in Laylatul Qadr. He said, "Inna anzalallahu fi Laylatul Qadr, wa ma adraka ma Laylatul Qadr, Laylatul Qadr khayrun min alf shahr." Right, this night is more important than 1,000 months. Then he says, "Tanazzalul malaikatu wa ruhu fiha." In it, the angels and the souls descend onto the earth. Right? So they cross all the heavens, they cross all the skies to descend onto the earth with the news of what is going to happen and what are the things that have been determined by Allah. So when they do come down, so obviously the news is being transported down in that regard to earth. So now when this is coming down, so anyone who has access to the heavens has knowledge of what is going to happen before it happens. So what Shaitan used to do is that he used to go there, eavesdrop and listen and see what's going on. And then he would bring that knowledge down and share it with his army of people who are there to use it or misuse it for their own personal benefits. You see that? And hence, this is the reason why Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, he had said that the knowledge of kahana, or this knowledge of oracleism, was a true knowledge that existed before the Prophet, because the information they used to get was true, and they would be able to predict events that were going to happen in the future because of the fact that they would have this internal access to that knowledge. But after the birth of the Prophet, because now shaitan is banned from going to any of the skies, hence after that, this knowledge is not existing, and hence anyone who claims to have it is a liar. Anyone who claims to say that I am psychic and I can know what's going to happen to you in the future is a liar now. It used to be true before, because of the fact that they had access to the knowledge. So now you see, in the time of the Prophet, and we are now discussing, and I'm mentioning this as a backdrop to the time of the birth of the Prophet now, the time of his conception, that's what we are talking about. To give you this idea of these things, and there were many oracles who lived in the time. And we are discussing on the day of the conception of the Prophet, when he was conceived. When he was conceived, you know that Abdullah went to his wife after drinking the water in Arafat, and you heard how he came there and drank the water. And he went back to his wife and he was conceived. Now in those days, there were these oracles who used to live. Amongst them, one of them was very well known by the name of Sutay. S-U-T-A-Y or H. Sutay. He was very well-known oracle, meaning that he was known by the Roman Empire. They used to invite him and they used to ask him for advice. And all the kingdoms used to take advice from him. Now, who was this person Sutay? Just to know about who he was. The amazing thing about this person is that when he was born without any bones in his body except for his skull. He was born without any bones in his body except for his skull. And hence, he would, in order to be transported from one place to another, would be rolled up like clothing, and he would be put in a basket and taken somewhere. Right? And then they would lay him out wherever he has to speak. Right? They would lay him out. This was this person, Sutay, you know. And he was very well known in history also, as we mentioned about the fact that this person was an oracle who would give advice, and many people will take advice from him. His only thing that he had in his life was that all night long he would be awake observing the skies. And he would just observe the sky, they would just lay him down and he would just be observing the skies. And it was on the day of the conception of the Prophet, which was the 14th of Jamadul Akhir, the 14th day of the 6th month of the Hijri calendar. On that night, what he saw in the sky was a blinding lightning. He saw a lightning in the sky that was so amazing that it looked like the sun, the stars were inflamed, and it was a spectacle. He observed it with shock and with fear. Looking at this amazing sight, obviously there was a fear in his eyes, and he wanted to confirm what he saw. So he wrote to another oracle by the name of Washik. He wrote to him and asked him, right, and he sent different letters to different oracles, to get their opinion also as to what they saw this night. And according to his estimation that he made, and he wrote it down in the letter what he thought it was, and he said that it looks like something amazing has happened. Something amazing has taken place, and it seems like, in his words, it seems like that the awaited messenger has been conceived. So now he wrote a letter to another oracle by the name of Vashik, and he wrote another letter to an oracle lady. She was the ruler of Yemen by the name of Zaraka. He wrote a letter to her also. Now I will explain about what her role is going to be, but right now, this person, when he wrote to Vashik, Vashik replied back to him and confirmed. He says, "I agree with what you are saying, and I saw the same thing, and I came to the same conclusion." Because these people were very well versed in the sciences of astronomy, and they had, for example, access to knowledge because of the fact that they had jinn who would bring them this knowledge of what is going to happen, and hence, and also they had the information about the books that have been revealed by God also, that has been mentioned. So they put all that together, and he came with this conclusion that the last messenger is, his seed is there. Right? He has been conceived, you know. And Vashik replied back, and he said the same thing. He said, "Yes, I agree with you." With this in mind, now Sutay said that he will go to Makkah and see himself. He wants to see himself, this what has happened and what this is about. So he came to Makkah from Sham. He used to live in Sham, in that region, because that was the heart of the Byzantine Empire. And from there he came to Makkah to see what is going on. Right away he left the next day. He left and he came to Makkah. When he arrived in Makkah, because of the fact that he was very well known, he was a very famous man. One just because of the fact that, you are different because he doesn't look like a normal person. Right? When you're like rolling him up and rolling him out, you know. It's like, what is this? You know, you just imagine he's rolled out and he just has one bone in his body, which is a skull. Right? And you're looking at him and he's just talking. You're like, what's this, you know? You'll see this as something that is strange and amazing. So, one of that, and the other thing is because of the fact that he was an oracle that was very well known amongst kings and rulers of the old regions. So now what happened is that when he came to Makkah, the chiefs of Makkah, amongst them Abu Jahl and all these people, they went out to greet him. They thought that, if he came to Makkah, it must be for something important. It's not like, he came here for a vacation, he does not do that. They knew that it has to be something important, so they went there to greet him outside of Makkah. They went out to greet him. He did not pay any attention to them. When they came there, he said, "Are you from the tribe of Bani Hashim?" And right away, they were a little bit upset at the fact that, listen, we are the chiefs of Makkah. We came to greet you, and you're asking about them? So they just got upset and walked away. They said, this is insulting, so they walked away, right? So, so he came inside and he came near the house of Allah, the Kaaba. And the news had spread around that he had come and he was looking for the children of Abdul Muttalib, right, of Hashim. He was informed about that. So now, he was near the house of Allah when the children of Abdul Muttalib, headed by Abu Talib, they came there and they went to greet him. But they decided that, listen, let's test his knowledge. Let's see if he is really speaking the truth or not. Right? Before, you know, we entertain him, you know, or anything, you know. So they went to him. They decided that they are going to give another name for themselves, you know. So he looked at them and he said, which tribe of the Arabs do you belong to? They said that we belong to the tribe of Jama'ah. Jama'ah. He was like shocked. He says, you know, are you sure? And he said, yes. He says, I don't know, but my knowledge is deceiving me. You know, I see you as someone else. I see you as someone else. I want you to put your hand on my eyes. So Abu Talib put his hands on the eyes of this person, Sutayh. And right away he said that, no, you don't belong to any of these tribes. The only tribe you belong to is Bani Hashim. You belong to this tribe, right? And when they looked at each other, they said, you know, I mean, okay, this person is authentic. You know, I mean, he's, you know, authentic. And right away they said, you know, that be our guest here. You are here as our guest. So, you know, with that in mind, now he said that as he looked at the hand of Abu Talib, I said that I know who you are. I said, looking at your hand in his eyes, I know who you are. You know, he says, who am I? Now, imagine this. This is when Abu Talib is young. Right? Abu Talib is there and he's young. Right? A young man. And he told Abu Talib that you are the father of the lion of all lions. And he went on to describe now that you will give birth to a child who's going to destroy all opposition. He will be the helper of the last of the messengers. Then he told Abu Talib, I want to meet your brother. Abdullah was not there. Abdullah had heard this, right? That he's here, but he was on some other errands. He came by there. Once this Sutayh saw him, right away he recognized him and said, you are the one. You are the one. You are the one who's going to give your son will be the ruler of all rulers. Your son will be the one who will destroy all kingdoms and all falsehood. Your son will be the one, and, you know, explaining these things, right? And his attributes. They asked him, you know, please inform us more about this. And he gave 50 qualities of the Prophet. One after one, he gave 50 attributes of the Prophet. And he said, this is who he's going to be. This is what he's going to do. This is what he's going to do. Now, obviously what had happened was that the, you know, so now the children of Abdul Muttalib were all like interested and they want to learn now. Right? So Abu Talib also got in the middle and said, you know, please tell me more about my son. Right? And, you know, he was giving him information about his son. So now, as this was going on, right, as this was going on, the chiefs of Makkah, the other chiefs, Abu Jahl and all these people, they saw that a lot of people are listening to him, and because he was a well-known person, it's like he's a celebrity who is making these predictions. He's an oracle that everyone knows of, and since he's making these predictions, the other people in Makkah, they obviously were upset and they were angry because it was having an effect on all the people in Makkah. I mean, this news will have effect on all the people of Makkah. So they came to the children of Abdul Muttalib and said, why are you listening to this liar? He's just a magician. I mean, they went out to greet him, you know. But he wasn't interested in them. He wasn't interested in them. So now they're calling him a liar and a magician. Right? So, you know, so the fact is that he was called a liar and a magician. But then, you know, they said that no. I mean, the fact is that, you know, I mean, you know, he's here and this is what he says and this and that. So they said that because he's a magician and a liar and he's lying, so they drew their swords in order to kill him. The children of Abdul Muttalib said that no, he is our guest. He's our guest. We made him our guest. If you are going to do anything to him, it will be have to be through us.
Exactly.
So now there was a fight. Now, the fight didn't happen because they were upset. They said, you know, okay, if he proves to us that he is right, right, then we will accept it. He said, you know, prove to us that you're right. So Hutay said, all right, if you want the proof, I'll give you the proof. He said, call all your wives here and I'll tell you who's the mother. Right? Bring out your wives, all the women, and I'll tell you who's the mother of the last of the prophets and who's the mother of his helper. Now it so happened that all the women came out except for those two. Right? Because of the fact that they were kept. Because they want to see that if he's a liar, right, he would just say one of them, right? I mean, he didn't know. So they brought out all the women. He looked at all of them. He said, no, 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 no. And they went through all of them. Well, you know, that's it. He says, no. There are others that who have not come in front of me. Abdullah and Abu Talib. Both are married, right? Abdullah's wife is Amina. Abu Talib's wife is Fatima bint Asad. They bring them out. They bring them out and right away he says to Amina that yes, she is the mother of the last of the messenger and you are the mother of the one who will be the helper of the last of the messenger. Now when he said this, right, again, this was a proof. There was no doubt in the minds of the people now that, okay, you know, this guy is not a liar. So now these people said, well, he has insulted us and he has, you know, I mean, for example, Allah, he has said wrong things about us. He has no respect for us. So they, again, pulled out their swords with the intention not just to kill him, but to kill Amina and Fatima bint Yasir. Right away they started to fight and the children of Abdul Muttalib, they drew swords also and they were repelling them. The women were so scared that they went inside the house of Allah and hid inside the house of Allah. They took refuge in the house of Allah. And in the house of Allah, you see that Amina, she prayed to Allah that Allah help us. Right? So now it was, for example, an onslaught from them. The children of Abdul Muttalib were trying to protect them. But you see that there was a voice that was heard and it was said to leave them. It was heard in such a way that everyone got scared. Everyone got scared and they moved back. Right? They moved back and they were able to regroup. Right? The children of Abdul Muttalib were able to regroup and they went. They took the ladies and this person to their neighborhood. Because they had one neighborhood, they put them inside so that they can protect them. Now, here, this is what happened out of this person. Now he's in Makkah and they informed him that, listen, the more you stay here, your life is threatened. It is better if you go. You better if you go because these people are not going to give up this and we do not want your blood to be in our hands. Right? So it's better that you go. And he said, yes, this is what I came here for. and I know that this is happening, so now I can go back in peace. So he had left. Now remember that he had written a letter to another oracle by the name of Zarqa. She was the queen of Yemen, the oracle queen of Yemen. Her vision was such that she was able to see things 3 days in advance. Anyone who's traveling anywhere, she would know 3 days beforehand where they are and where they are going to be. When he sent the letter, she had informed her court that there is a rider who's coming towards me with a letter. And lo and behold, 3 days later, he reached there. He reached there, she read the letter, and for some reason she said that that night she was not up, and so she could not witness this. But because you have witnessed it and what you say, she says, then I also confirm if this was the case, then what you're saying is right. So she came to the same conclusion. So she said that it is time for us to go to Makkah. So she also, now she's coming from the south to Makkah. She's coming from Yemen to Makkah. So she comes to Makkah. He came to Makkah. He came before her. Now he is outside of Makkah because he's leaving. Qutay is leaving. He's outside of Makkah. And there he meets Zarqa. Zarqa meets him. They talk. And she tells him that is, did you see the person? Did you see the woman? Did you see all these things? He said, yes, I saw it. And it is true. It is there. There is no doubt about this. So in that way, Zarqa said that we need to do something about this. You see, understand it from their point of view. The oracles, their wealth, their name, their fame, their power, their rule is all because of this internal access they have to the heavens. They know that after the birth of the last prophet, all that access will be lost. You see that? All that access will be lost, and hence they are not going to have this access anymore. It will be finished. They know this. This is the end of the line for their profession. It was finished. It is finished now. So now, this is the reason Zarqa said, we need to do something about this. We have to make sure that we get rid of this before it comes to haunt us. Qutay said, I have seen enough. And I am going to go back to Sham and die there. I'm going to go back to Sham and die there, and I have no part in any design or plot that you make. So she said, alright, if you don't do it, then I will. So she came to Makkah. When she came to Makkah, she's a queen of Yemen, and she's an oracle also, and hence that respect, that honor, and everything she did there. She came there, she met the children of Abdul Muttalib and said, I want to meet the mother of this child, you know, who's going to be born. So, you know, she's a woman, so they said, alright, let's go. They went inside, you know, she met her, and she knew right away. When she was on her way inside, she met Abdul Muttalib and Abdullah. She asked Abdul Muttalib, then she saw Abdullah. She gave a piercing look to Abdullah and said, I know you. Right? I know you. You were in Yemen. Abdullah looked at her and recognized her. Abdullah was in Yemen a few years before, and she saw him there, and at that time he had the light in his face. The radiance of the seed of the Prophet was in his face. She was so enamored by him that she went up to him and offered to give all her wealth if he could spend one night with her. Right away he refused. He said that we come from a family that do not sin. We come from a family that do not sin. Right? And hence, you know, I will not be any part of this. And he felt threatened in Yemen, so he had to run away. And he recognized the fact. After that, he couldn't go back to Yemen because he knew that she's there. You know, I mean, if you see some queen and she is psycho about you, you know, so she has the army in her hand, you know, you don't want to go and do business there, right? So he remembered her and he knew who she was, right? He knew who she was, you know, but you know, she asked him by looking at him, but where is your light that you had in your face? He said, now it is with my wife. He said, I want to see her. So she went there to see her and she recognized that yes, she does have the light of the Prophet in her. Right? Now she came out of there and now you see that she was perplexed as to how that she can get to Amina. Because of the incident that happened with this person, now there was a heavy guard around Amina. All the women were protecting her and the men were on guard to make sure that no one comes and hurts Amina. They all want to protect her. They all want to make sure that nothing happens to her. So now, Zarqa went back to her tent and was plotting. And came with a plan to get to Amina. There was a woman by the name of Takna. She was from Medina. She came with Amina to Mecca. When she got married, she came with her as her servant. She was the hairdresser or the beautician of all the Bani Hashim and the women of Bani Hashim. She used to do their hair and all the other things of Bani Hashim. Right? This lady by the name of Takna. And hence, you know, she invited her, Takna, to her place, you know. They were, you know, and she made friendship with her. She gave her respect and honor. Takna was a simple-minded woman. She obviously was not, you know, someone who was smart, you know. She was simple-minded and looking at the respect that she was getting, was flattered. You know, that a lady of her stature, the Queen of Yemen, is giving me respect and eating with me and hanging out with me is like a big thing, you know. I've been in the hands of Bani Hashim. And, you know, I mean, you know, and you know, they have not been like this. And this woman is giving me all kinds of things, you know, and respect and this and that. So, now what happened is that this person, right, she said, you know, and after this, right, she said that, you know, after some time, after she got to know her, right, she said that, listen, you know, why don't you spend the night here? With me, you know, in the room, you know, there's a lot of room, you know, we can hang out, talk, have food and drink and, you know, merrymaking and all that. Mm-hmm. So she was there hanging out, you know. She was there hanging out with her and this and that, and she slept there in the room. And she says that in the middle of the night, someone came to visit. Alaykum salam. Someone came to visit Zarqa. And she saw this person coming to visit Zarqa. She was happy to see him. And he said, after a long time you have come back. He says, I've come back, but you know, there's some news, bad news, you know. What is that? He says, I won't be able to get you any more information. Alright? That this was a jinn, you know, who was in the hands of Zarqa. He came there and said, I can't give you any more information anymore because we tried to go into the skies, but the angels are blocking our path. There's no way to get in. Right? We can't do it now. There's no more information I can give you. And, you know, so she said, but, you know, I want to get rid of this light here. And this jinn told her that, listen, if I were you, I would give up those plans. Because the news is that Allah Himself is going to protect this baby. There's nothing that is going to happen to this baby. Nothing is going to happen, and no matter what you do, it's only going to hurt you. Right? And this is his own jinn, right? And she, and he's advising her that, listen, you know, give it up. You know, come on, give up. Right? Give up. Don't do this. But you see, envy. What envy is? She couldn't get Abdullah. Because she couldn't get Abdullah, she didn't want Amina to also have that. And this envy and jealousy is what made her not listen to the advice of her own jinn, who was bringing all this information to her, who has inside information, and he's warning her, don't go there. This is the reason why envy and jealousy is something. It's something that when you are envious of someone and jealous of someone, it will eat you up from the inside and make you do things. It will make you do things that are harmful for your own self. Because when you're envious of someone, you want to harm him, even if it harms you to harm him. You want to hurt him, even if you're going to be hurt to hurt him. You see, but you would rather be hurt, but you want to see him hurt also. You know, this is what envy does to a person. And this is what happened to her now. In that state of envy, she didn't listen to the advice. And in the morning when they woke up, now this lady asked her that, you mean, who was this person who came here and all these things? She replied back, you know, this is, advisor of mine. He gives me advice in this and that. And he was saying, so she asked him, why is he advising you, you know, that you should do this? He said, listen, you know, I have something important for you to do. Would you do this for me? You know? And she said, what is that? He said, listen, this is what I want you to do. I want you to, because you're close to Amina, I want you to murder her. I want you to kill her. Now, she knows Amina, she's her hairdresser, her beautician. She came with Amina from Medina to Makkah. She said, that's not going to be easy. So she brings about a bag of gold. Right? And puts the bag of gold in front of her. Now, this lady is a simple-minded lady. She has never seen that much gold in one place. Right? Never saw that much gold in one place, you know. The eyes are glittering now, but she still has concerns. But how am I going to do this? Said, don't worry, I arranged for that. And she gave her a dagger that was poisoned. He said, just when you are near her, just use this dagger. It has poison in it that will instantly act on her and would kill her. But then she said, okay, all this gold, but still, if I do this, I know I'm going to be arrested, right? I'm going to be arrested by Bani Hashim. Where am I going to run? He said, don't worry, I'm going to take care of your blood money. I'll free you. I'll pay the blood money and I'll free you.
Wow.
You know? So obviously, I mean, you offer me the gold, but if I do this, I won't live another day to use it. So she says that, you know, I'll offer you the blood money also. I am going to give the blood money and I'm going to free you. I have money, don't worry about it. I have money, I'm going to do this for you. So she's like, okay, but still, you know, how am I going to get that close with all the men around? He said, I'll take care of that also. You know, I will have a party at my place and invite all of them. All the men will come to my place and you will be alone there. Now, with all of these things that she is doing, now, this lady, Thakna, she looks at the situation and says, well, I mean, I can do this, you know, for this amount of gold and this and that. Why not? So, in that, with that situation in mind, she goes now. She goes, and now, as it happened, you know, she came to Amina. And because she's the hairdresser, she's there, the lady, she comes inside. And Amina now is ready for her hair to be done. So, she gets behind her. She gets behind her. And now, waiting when Amina starts, you know, just to relax, so that you can pull the dagger. Now she takes out the dagger. She takes out the dagger, right? And she says that whenever I took the dagger out, I couldn't see Amina in front of me. I couldn't see Amina. They're in front of me. Like, where is she? Right? Then when I put it back in, she's there. Right? See, it's her now. She's saying this. She's giving witness that every time I want to hit her, she's not there. Right? And then when I did take it out to strike, it was like someone is holding my hand. And I was so afraid, right, that she shrieked, dropped the knife on the floor. When she shrieked in fear, then Amina turned around and noticed the dagger on the floor. When she noticed the dagger on the floor, so she shouted also. When she also shouted, that's when all the ladies of Bani Hashim came inside. Now remember, all the men are there, you know, with the other lady, because she invited them, all of them, you know, for the big merrymaking and party. So they went there because of the fact that, well, you know, I mean, this lady is honoring us, and hence we go there. So now they went there and she was here. So now all the people of Bani Hashim, you know, this and that, you know, it so happened that they grabbed her and all these things happened. Now when she went away from there, she came over there to Zarqa. She informed Zarqa of what happened. This is what happened. I could do this and this and that. These men of Bani Hashim saw that one of their servants is here with this lady. Why is she here? And then when she's here, right, Zarqa, she gets on her own horse or ride and she gets away from there fast. She starts running away and then they're looking, where's the host? She comes and informs her something, where's the host? Something happened. So they went back to the house of Bani Hashim. In the neighborhood, everyone informs them of what happened. They try to go after this lady, but she is already gone. Now you see, this is the second attempt that was made on the life of Amina. Yeah. Right? And this was now getting to be, for example, something of a redundant thing in the time, in the family of Bani Hashim. Because you see that there was a life attempt on Hashim, life attempt on Abdul Muttalib, life attempt on Abdullah, life attempt on Amina, and they recognize the fact that wherever this light is, that is what the forces of Shaitan are opposing. So it doesn't matter, Abdul Muttalib is still there, but now the light is gone from him, no one wants to kill him. But if it was in him, they wanted to kill him. When Abdullah had the light, they wanted to kill him. But when that light went to his wife, now they don't want to kill him. So with that in mind, you see, something happened around that time that was heartrending for the whole family of Bani Hashim. At that time, you see, Abdullah was called by Abdul Muttalib. And Abdul Muttalib said that, I want you to go to Sham and get something done for me. It's immediate. He says, all right, whatever it is, you know. Abdullah, this was around the third or the sixth month of the pregnancy of his wife. And Abdullah agreed to go. He reached Medina. When he reached Medina, right away he became sick. He fell ill. And in that illness, he died. This was something that, because of the fact that Abdullah, the reason he went alone is because he knew that they're not after my life. They were after the light of the Prophet. Since it's not with me anymore, so it's not going to harm me. And hence he left there, but he did fell ill. How the illness came about, what was the reason for the illness, this is all a different matter altogether. Inshallah, we will see. We will be able to discuss after this. But until now, you hear that now these are the events that happened around the birth of the Prophet. Around his birth, the events that happened, it was seen. And it so happened that, inshallah, I will explain more of this, inshallah, next week also, that the whole world was informed about the birth of the Prophet before he was born. Mm-hmm. There were two major empires at that time, the Roman Empire and the Persian Empire. And both of these places were informed by before the Prophet was born that he was going to be born. Right? The Roman Empire was informed through Hutayb, who when he came to Mecca and went back, he told everyone, the last messenger is coming, all your kingdoms are going to fall. Right? All your kingdoms are going to fall. Too bad. That's the way it's going to be. Because it's written, that's the truth. There's no way out of this. Right? And right away you see they were informed. There was a reason why in a matter of 23 years, the whole region became Muslim. Right? It wasn't just, for example, you know, that the Prophet was going to each and every person. He did. But the message of the Prophet had reached the people even before the Prophet had come. Even before he came, the message that he is coming and that he is here has been reached. The people have already known about it. So now because they know about it, it was easier for them to accept it because of the fact that yes, it has been written and it has been told by even those people who came before him that he is going to come, and hence this is the reality, this is the eventuality that he is the last messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq and the blessing to be on the right path. Give us the wisdom to understand his guidance. Hasten the reappearance of our Imam. Make us his helper when he comes. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Any questions? Alright then, inshallah. Oh, there's one question over there, the lady side.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Questions?